Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And the Sunbury Motor Studio is mobile today in West Lafayette, Indiana. Eli Gold, Chamber of Commerce Chairman. Maybe not. It's down the 70s in Alabama. Eli's got golf clubs. You know, Pete Dye, the great Pete Dye, is the one that designed, produced golf course out here. And it is something else. It is, that is one great layout that he put together here. I mean, really spectacular. And it's got all that wispy grass like you see down at Sawgrass and so forth. It's something else. All right, play-by-play call of the day. Last night, Maryland played at Iowa. Fran McCaffrey, after the game, went after official Larry Scarrato before he got into the handshake line. And here's the big call of the game. Melo Trimble and my bud, and one of the best ever, Johnny Holiday, on the call.
The other way was Trimble, now to Herter, to Cowan, to Trimble for three. Yes! And we are tied again at 72. Now to Bender, out front. Cowan shoots it left side, Trimble with a three. That's good! Back-to-back triples by the All-American.
And the great Hall of Famer, Johnny Holiday, with the call of the All-American Melo Trimble last night at Carver-Hawkeye. Now that Maryland and Iowa have exited Carver-Hawkeye, Penn State and Iowa in wrestling invade Carver-Hawkeye tonight. Nittany Lions are ranked second. They're undefeated. Second only to Oklahoma State. Iowa's ranked third. They've lost once. That was to Oklahoma State. And the outstanding play-by-play voice of the Nittany Lion wrestling team is Jeff Byers. Jeff, it is always great to hear you on the other end.
Thanks, Steve. Always appreciate the opportunity.
Let's talk about the youth on the team. Obviously, certain wrestlers were expected to step to the front that are in that redshirt freshman class or freshman class. Now you've had a chance to really see them out there. What are some of the qualities they bring to the table that backs up why everybody was excited about them to begin with?
Well, I think the thing about this group, Steve, is that they're obviously very talented, but they are a really coachable group. I think this is a class that came in understanding the expectations, understanding the importance of their role right out of the gate here, and I think they've accepted it. I mean, I think, obviously Nick Soriano has been lights out to this point, but I really think Vincenzo Joseph has emerged here as one of the top contenders in the country at his weight as well. And I just think, they have some guys, obviously, that are redshirting that are going to be pretty significant contributors here in the near future as well.
Yeah, I wonder who. Most people get a six-time state champion, and he is the cornerstone of the program for 4 years. Penn State redshirts theirs.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It is. It really is just such a special time, and I think, and I guess I know that the fans do recognize it and appreciate that, but I just think, when you look at some of the kids on this team in recent years, David Taylor and Ed Ruth would have unquestionably, even as of 10 years ago, been the greatest Penn Stater to ever wear a singlet. And, those are the types of kids that Penn State was getting one or two of over a 10 to 15 year period. And now all of a sudden you follow those up with a Jason Wolf and a Bo Nickel and a Zane Rutherford. And it's just, they're coming in waves, these once in a decade type of kids, and it's just a very special time, obviously, to be around this Penn State program and supporting this Penn State program.
And now they've got Iowa coming up, and Iowa's in the middle of a trifecta right now where they've got they already wrestled Oklahoma State, which, by the way, beat Iowa 24-11. They've got Ohio State next weekend, and in the middle they've got Penn State. I believe that, if I recall correctly, hasn't Iowa won like 24 straight Big Ten dual meets in Carver? That makes sense.
In Carver hockey, they've been very, very tough to beat there.
All right, give me a read as to what the pluses and minuses of Tom Brand's team happens to be this year.
Yeah, I think the pluses are they're very experienced, especially in the lighter weight. It's a veteran group. They have 3 50-year seniors in those first three weight classes, and I think this is a team that, while it has a couple of spots, and I think they're still trying to figure some things out, it is a team that largely understands its role, and Iowa, I think, feels pretty comfortable that it knows what it's getting in the majority of its weights right now. Sam Stoll, their heavyweight, hasn't truthfully looked quite the same since his injury a year ago, and it just doesn't seem like he's quite back to where they thought he was going to be maybe at this stage. And that's not to say that he's not an outstanding wrestler, as is, but I think they really thought he might have taken that next step and been a guy that was challenging Kyle Snyder at this point. We just haven't seen that, at least not yet. So I think it's a very good team. I think it's a better team, certainly, than they've had in the last couple of years, but I just don't know if they're quite where they want to be yet in terms of being right there with the national title contenders, and I kind of think that dual meet with Oklahoma State showed that. They're close. They're very good. I just don't think they're quite there with the Oklahoma States and the Penn States yet, but I think they're getting pretty close.
Actually, a lot of people feel they're about 3 seconds away from actually maybe swinging that because they had that one big escape Oklahoma State did at 59 seconds of riding time, which made a difference, and then a couple of bouts later, two All-Americans went head-to-head, and they went through some tiebreakers. I mean, then that's how that one turned out.
Yeah, no, there's no question, and they are, again, not far away. I think when you look at the lineup right now, and again, we're in January, and this is not when the titles are decided, but
right.
I just think as a tournament team right now, when you're looking at the projecting here in March, I just don't know that Iowa has quite the depth or quite the top-end talent, either end, that Penn State or Oklahoma State does. I mean, I think Penn State feels very confident that it has anywhere from 3 to 5 NCAA finalists this year, and I think they feel pretty good about having at least 3 champions right now. Iowa, I think, has confidence that they could get 2 or 3 into the finals. I just don't know that there's anybody there that you look and say is as much of a lock as like a Zane Rutherford is on that Penn State lineup right now.
You either get better or you get worse. You never stay the same. You and I heard that saying so many times during the course of our careers. That applies to anything and everybody. So Rutherford, Nolf, and Nickel, where are they better?
With Rutherford, Steve, it really has been the tactical things. There are technical moves that he's making, little adjustments in terms of his grip and the way he's able to turn guys on top and get the pins instead of just racking up near fall points. I also think he's a guy that just continues to add variety to his offense from his feet. He just can do so many different things in so many different ways. And really, I guess that probably applies to all three. I also think all three, Steve, have gotten better because they spend so much time with each other and with some of the other kids in the room, kind of tinkering around with stuff and experimenting with ideas, talking things through with the coaches. They are three of the most creative kids, and also Nickel in particular, just really creative in terms of the way they can score points. And they like improvising. They like trying new things and figuring out if there's a new way to do something that's been done one way for years and years. Bo Nickel, I think, has just gotten a little better this year in terms of his fundamentals. And it's not that the fundamentals haven't always been there, but I think he's kind of going back to those and just making sure he's taking care of all the little things before he advances to some of the bigger things. And, he's obviously still capable of throwing anybody from anywhere on the mat, but I think he's focused more right now on all right, let's get a couple of takedowns, let's get control of the bout, and then, you know, as we can wear an opponent down, let's try to go for some of the bigger throws or the bigger moves. And Jason Nolf, much like Zane, I think it's just some little technical things that he's worked on, in particular from the top position, to maybe perfect some things in terms of being able to get pins again rather than just 4-point near fall tilts or just riding time.
Well, those three are combined 35-0 right now, as you know. What has it meant? You want to, obviously, the matchups mean a lot, but what has it meant to the lineup that your bookends at 25 and at heavyweight are two guys that you've been able to count on every time out?
Yeah, and Steve, they're both kids that the coaching staff felt coming into the season would be these type of kids. You just don't know when you have a freshman for sure until he gets out there, but they felt obviously very good about Nick Suriano, and that's why they brought him in with the expectation that he would be a starter.
And he'll have a huge issue with Gilman coming up. That's going to be exciting, but still.
Big one. No, it's a big one, and he's excited about it. I mean, he's looking forward to the opportunity to have that chance, and I think win, lose, or draw, it's going to be a good match for him to have at this stage of the season and get a little better gauge of exactly where he's at with the top guy in the country at that weight right now. And I think he'll be right there with him. I think, you know, Nick knows the one thing he's got to do is maybe keep his foot on the pedal a little more in that third period. I think he's and he knows it. Again, it's just a lot easier said than done to keep trying to score points when you have a lead especially against a highly ranked opponent. And that's the one thing that they're working on with him. And he's working very hard on as well. And truthfully, we thought with Zane Rutherford, I mean, again, a true freshman, you're just not going to come in and dominate everybody you face. And, you know, we saw it with Rutherford his freshman year. He's very good. He won most of his matches, but he had some close matches along the way with kids that he widely, made the gap much wider over the course of the next couple of years. And I think you'll see that with Soriano. And Nevels, you know, I think some fans maybe got a little concerned with the postseason that he had last year, but Nick is just a special heavyweight in terms of his agility and athletic ability, and there just are not many heavyweights. There's obviously a couple out there. Kyle Strider comes to mind, but there are not many that can score points the way he can and in the variety of ways that Nick Nevels can. He's got just tremendous ability from his feet, and he is a dominating wrestler from the top position, and that's been really a big difference maker for him here in terms of separating himself from much of the heavyweight division this season.
I feel like over the last few years I always get to this question, but I always have to ask it anyway, and I think I think he has an advantage in this one, but what do you make of Jimmy Gulevan?
Yeah, Steve, I honestly don't know what to make, and I don't know that the coaches quite do either. The kid's ability is through the roof, and his work ethic is through the roof. I mean, it's not a case where you have a kid that is just complacent or not willing to do the little things or not coachable, not listening to what folks are telling them. It just is one of those things, they just cannot get the consistent performance out of him in the dual meets. And it's a mental thing, and it's you know, something they keep working on. He keeps working on, and it's one of those things, Steve, where, I mean, he really is the great wild card on this team. I think Jimmy Gulevan is capable of going out and winning a national title. I mean, if he gets a hot tournament and gets on a roll and wrestles the way he's capable of and the way we see sometimes in the room, he is legitimately capable of winning the national title. It is not inconceivable that he could go out and go 0-2 in St. Louis either, and that's, you know, again, it's an uncomfortable position. Obviously, the coaches are hoping that he at least gets on the podium. I mean, you want to see your seniors with that type of ability at least get on the podium. And in the team race, I think it's going to be fairly important that Jimmy get them some significant points, meaning that he needs to get on the podium and at least become an All-American here in his senior year. But as to whether he will or not, Steve, right now, I think that's anybody's guess. I think this is a big match for him tomorrow, confidence-wise, yes, against Iowa.
Yeah, no question. Enjoy the smell of the burnt popcorn from the concourse.
You know it.
Know it well, my friend. Know it well. It'll be great. Looking forward to it. Should be terrific. As always, thanks for your time, my friend.
Thanks a lot, Steve. I appreciate it.
And again, that is Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. We'll come back with more from beautiful West Lafayette, where they still brag about the Wakemans as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
True refreshment can come in many forms, but it can only be found in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury. Along with their great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, they have lots of water, soda, fresh roasted peanuts, and an unbelievable variety of pickles at the Pickle Bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and your favorite snacks, too. Get true refreshment all in one place, the Beverage Supermarket. Brewers Outlet in Sunbury.
Welcome back, West Lafayette. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Strongly recommend that you stock up tonight for a big weekend, because that includes the AFC and NFC championship games. First one will be the NFC game, the Falcons and the Packers, and then the nightcap will be the Patriots and the Steelers. We'll talk about that in the final half hour. My brother's going to join us for that. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, gives you the best selection, without question, of imports, domestics, and microbrews. So I mentioned beer, and not only that, some great specials, too. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. Those bags are right there at the register. And the pickle bar, as we all know, so let's say it all together, is second to none. I enjoy the dills, the barrels very much. You may have a different taste than me. It's all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. I'm in the mobile Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Our thanks to Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, for joining us today. Eli Gold, the play-by-play voice of Alabama football, in the previous half hour, and Jeff Byers, the play-by-play voice of Penn State Wrestling. If you happen to miss any of it, shame on you. I mean, really. I mean, why would you have wanted to miss any of that? But if circumstances dictated such, we do have it on the Steve Jones Show podcast, which is put together skillfully by Sean Carey, whining and complaining about it all the way.
No. Never.
Oh, that sounded convincing. Okay.
We've had a great week. Brother's got to now put the capper on it.
I know. Yeah. No, it's. I think you and I did a combo job on lining up some people, and I think it turned out decently.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Got a few more lined up. Some guests in the pipeline for next week. We hope to get in touch with Peter King, Sports Illustrated, and former Penn Stater Rich Ornberger, who's now spending time doing sports radio in San Diego. So we'll get that happening next week, too.
Yeah, I know the Chargers had a big welcome to L.A. thing, I guess, over at the Forum in Inglewood, and I guess both the fans enjoyed it. All right, so...
I felt bad, though, for Anthony Lynn. He accidentally slipped San Diego in.
When his
opening line, and he goes, oops.
It's 56 years. You know, now, obviously, I know Anthony Lynn a little bit, because that's Dan Lynn's dad, you know. And Dan Lynn, of course, played for Penn State. I guess you didn't know. Yeah, Dan Lynn played for Penn State. That's his father, you know.
Mm.
So I'm happy for him. He's got to be great. I mean, great guy. Excellent coach. Excellent coach. It's interesting when you see people make changes in coaches. They usually go to the opposite of what they just had. San Diego didn't quite go that way, but Mike McCoy, you know, obviously an offensive mind. So is Anthony Lynn. How about the Raiders to Las Vegas? They put the letter in, and it looks like they're going to put the pedal to the floor on that. That means the $13 billion league, the $13 billion league that, by the way, just had the top seven shows, well, outside of six of the top seven shows for last week in prime time, the other ones being Alabama, Clemson, and the and the pregame show for Alabama-Clemson. Sports had the top eight spots last week. Six of them were the NFL in prime time. But the $13 billion league now is going to have its third franchise move in 12 months. Really? I'll tell you right now, don't ever let people tell you the fans are the number one deal when it comes to professional sports. They treat that the NFL treats fans as if they're disposable. And if you don't bend over backwards to keep the team, oh, well. I don't know.
Well, it's like that other famous line when they're talking about, hey, it's not about the money, you fill in the rest.
It's always about the money. I know what we pay my brother. Certainly isn't about the money. We'll come back with him next, brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, sports bozo of the day. We have two of them today. When Greg Popovich got ejected from last night's game, Emmanuel Mudiay of the Nuggets then did the ejection signal for Pop. Pop's had like one kind of career, Emmanuel Mudiay, and you play for the Nuggets. Just go play. The other was Fran McCaffrey. Now, you know I like Fran McCaffrey, but I don't think you go after the official on the court after the game. I just don't. And I like Fran. Now, a friend in the game can get a little crazy sometimes. I know that, but still. All right, there you go. And now we bring in the entrepreneur of all entrepreneurs, the predictor of all predictors, the seer of all seers, my brother.
Hi.
I thought it was a great intro.
Well, this week's trivia question is sponsored by the Kevin Jones Heart to Heart Candle Holder Collection. Two hearts come together to make one flame.
I feel like I'm talking to Jane Seymour.
Just in time for Valentine's Day.
He was an all-pro cornerback, played in the NFL for 9 years. She was the youngest winner of American Idol. She is his daughter. Who is he and who is she?
That'd be Sparks, right?
Yeah.
You got it.
Sparks of the with the Giants and Jordan Sparks.
Yeah. You got it. Yeah. Good.
There you go.
Well, I wanted to get entertainment in there, too, you know. So, anyway, yeah. I thought that was cool. And he was wonderful. I mean, they wouldn't let her go public until she graduated from college. So now she's got a great career. So she was young, she won, but they kept her under wraps. So
yeah.
Wow.
Very nice.
Okay, watching the parade here with the president.
Hmm. Yeah, we took your brother, Steve, away from the presidential parade.
What a family, huh? My God, a huge family.
President Trump is walking down the parade route toward the stand right now where they're going to be and to watch the rest of the parade. But the President and the First Lady, Melania Trump, are walking down the street. They're out of the car along with their son, Barron.
He's so impressive, now Barron. He's handling this well, waving to the crowd.
He's 10 years old.
Yeah.
He's 10 years old. You know what?
Yeah.
What the heck? At 10 years old, you and I were going out and throwing the football in the yard. You know? Now, to his credit, his yard now is pretty big.
I want to see
the
president.
Go to the south lawn and throw the ball around.
Yeah. Well, he's going to have to take care of the garden. So.
No.
They've got people. They've got people.
Okay. They've got people that do that. Yeah.
Oh, I thought Michelle went out and did it every day by herself.
Oh, that's right. They had the garden. Yeah.
Tremendous. So we've got the NFC and AFC championship games coming up this weekend. How did things go last weekend, Sean?
Okay, well, so far here in the postseason, Steve, you and I are sterling. We are smoking 8-0. Kevin is 6-2. That's just the playoff records. But overall, Kevin is 94-50. I am 93-51. Only behind by one game. And Steve, you are at 89-55.
So. This contest stinks. No.
It's exciting for me and Sean. So.
Let me go back to the podcast. I think you said that in week five.
And I meant it in week five. Now, what idiot came up with this idea? Oh, wait, that might have been me.
So sure you were going to beat me.
One hot day in July at a baseball stadium.
Okay, now wait a minute now. Sean, what did I tell you off the air before we started this?
Was it about a bet?
No. I told you how good my brother was.
Absolutely. You, Kevin, he said this last July. My brother could flat out do this show. Quote, unquote.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I look forward to it all week. I thank you for letting me be a part of it. It's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, you're not leaving.
Believe me, we've had a blast. I believe, based on what the audience is saying, they've had a blast with it, too.
Even Mark Lawrence's wife. We got her locked in,
Mark
too.
Lawrence, yes. Mark Lawrence's wife is a big fan of yours.
Yes.
Oh. Well, thank you.
And really, that kind of humble response leads us now to the NFC Championship game. We had Mike Conti from the Falcons Network on yesterday. We had Wayne Larrabee, the play-by-play voice of the Packers, on. Was it yesterday or Wednesday? I think it was Wednesday, right?
Yeah.
Wednesday we had Wayne on. Yeah. So, all right, so let's get to it here. Last game ever in the Georgia Dome. I did one game in the Georgia Dome in my life. It was a basketball game. It was Penn State and Temple in the Sweet 16 game. In 2001.
Isn't that when the plane almost crashed?
Not that one. Believe me, we've had a couple of those. but that wasn't it. And the other game was actually Gonzaga, Michigan State, and Michigan State came out of there and went to the national championship up in Minneapolis that year. So. That's the only game I ever did in there, in the Georgia Dome. It was a basketball game.
It's a huge place. Isn't that where they fake the crowd noise?
They fake the crowd noise. The other thing about the Georgia Dome, it was the one that in the SEC tournament in 2007 or 8, it got hit by a tornado.
Ooh.
And it was brutal. And they moved the rest of the SEC tournament over to Georgia Tech.
Wow.
Yeah. So, okay, so we got Atlanta, Green Bay. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to put a little bit of weight on one thing. As Green Bay jumped out to a 21-3 lead, and they let Dallas back into the game,
yep.
They should have blown the lights off Dallas. I think as great as Rodgers is, the running game's not that good. I mean, that Montgomery, I think his name is. 88,
Simon,
the wide receiver,
yeah.
Is a running back.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
You know, I think Ryan's got so many weapons, and his head is in the right place now, and they're playing at home. And, I mean, both these games are so evenly matched. You got to be real picky about it. I'm going to go with Atlanta.
There's still the Super Bowl.
Who you take a shot?
This is true. This is true.
Yeah. Oh, Jay, you want to pick Atlanta. Just pick them. Just do it.
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Atlanta, like Kevin says, they have the more balanced offense.
they've got the weapons. Plus, you got Davante Adams, Randall Cobb. They're both banged up. We're still waiting to find out if Jordy Nelson's going to play. Atlanta's had an extra day of rest. Vic Beasley leads in sacks. We got 15 and a half the season so
far.
Yes,
he did.
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Guess so. Get some pressure in on Aaron Rodgers. So, yes, I'm going to take Atlanta.
I think Matt Ryan is an excellent quarterback.
Yeah.
And also his ability to bring teams back in the fourth quarter, which Wayne Larrabee talked about earlier, was so important. I think they've done a good job defensively this year. The Packer defense is an issue in this, obviously, especially at corner. But I'm going to go with the Aaron Rodgers factor, and I'm going to say Green Bay is going to win it, and he is the only reason I'm going to pick Green Bay.
He is so good. Yeah. He's hard to bet against.
I mean, the fact that he has his mobility completely back is a big swing factor for me, because I think Aaron Rodgers, when he's been hurt the last couple of years, has been really good, but now he's not hurt, and he's gone from really good back to being great.
Have you ever seen a quarterback who can roll to the left and be right-handed and throw the way he does?
No, not really. And you know what? And that's what impressed me about Sam Darnold of USC, Kev, because in all the tapes that I watched, and I talked to Jack about this, and then obviously I got to see it in person myself, this is why I think next year, if he decides to come out, because he's a redshirt freshman. He's going to be a redshirt sophomore next year, so he can come out after next year. He'll be the first overall pick in the draft. And you know who Sam Darnold is, in my opinion? He's Ben Roethlisberger.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's who he is.
Yeah.
And I think, and his ability as a college player to do what you just said, to roll left, have his feet under control, and a key when you do that is the ability to quickly square your shoulders to the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Rodgers does that beautifully, and then Darnold obviously does that really well.
That's just amazing, and the defense can't stop that play. You know,
By the way, Dan just texted me. Your nephew?
Yeah.
Yeah, you heard of him?
Yeah.
Yeah. He says he's loving listening to you on the radio right now.
Hey, Dan. How's it going? Go steal some cookies up in the... We were filling our pockets with cookies at a game up in the press box at Beaver Stadium.
We go to Madison Square Garden a few years ago.
This is
when they were younger. Oh, no. This is a good story. We go to Madison Square Garden a few years
ago. I paid the guy off to leave us alone.
Oh, no, not that story. Right. And I had to do the post game show. It was at the NIT. So Kevin took. Did I have the three older ones? So it was Jen, Mike, and Dan, right? And I said, can you take them back to the hotel?
No, it was Christopher.
Oh, Christopher's there. Okay. Yeah. So he takes them back to the hotel, and I get back to him. He says, Uncle Kevin is so great. He is the best. He got us candy bars and hot dogs. This is at 11 o'clock at night.
But I hadn't eaten, so I went to the little candy. But that's when the guy come up behind me, and he must have looked at my wallet. And so he asked me for money. And so I gave it to him. I didn't know what to do. I was like, I gave him the money.
Kevin,
I said, just leave us alone, all right? And he said, that's cool.
Uncle Kevin is the best. Uncle Kevin's the best uncle in the world. I had to laugh because, I mean, you know, they're all eating candy bars and hot dogs, and they're loving it. I just decided not to tell their mother.
Snickers bars, peanut M&Ms. You know, I taught them to judge how high we were up in the hotel by doing something over the railing.
We're on the 48th floor. Yeah, at the Marriott Marquis. All right, now we got the Patriots and the Steelers.
I got the Steelers.
Oh, Sean, he did that deliberately to you.
That's why I hesitated so much on the first game.
That's why Sean is now going to pick the Patriots.
No.
Oh,
no.
I got the Patriots. I'm taking the Patriots, Sean. Don't worry.
No. I know. Brady is 9-2 all time against the Steelers. 26 touchdowns, only three interceptions. But I am going to take the Steelers because I think New England is ripe for the picking. But what I'm going to watch for close is when Brady is out there and the Steelers can rush three and get pressure on Brady. If they rush four or five, Brady could pick them apart, and Artie Burns and Sean Davis will have very rookie-type days.
He gets rid of the ball too quick.
Right. So if they can stick with rushing three, but that's the thing. The Steelers have the zone defense, and that's when New England can have a field day.
How do you feel about what happened with Brown in the locker room?
Well, we talked about that on Monday. I couldn't believe it. I mean, NBC still had the postgame on Sunday night, and my wife was checking Facebook before she went to sleep, and she's like, wow, Antonio's live. And it's like you're catching that portion of the locker room you never thought you'd be able to get a glimpse of before.
I'm just surprised the NFL didn't charge him a rights fee. All right, so...
I just think that's a mental thing. I really...
he's crazy.
I believe athletics is 70% mental and 30% physical. And there's a skip missing there when you will do that to your coach and embarrass your coach like that and not really care about it. He knew the rules. And he did it anyway. And when you have a game this close, you got to find things that are... And the fact that Pittsburgh couldn't close last week is alarming. I mean, you Le'Veon Bell and Brown put up huge numbers, but they never got in the end zone. And that bothered me. Yeah. So that's why I'm taking the Patriots. So.
The best player in the field is Tom Brady. All right? Let's start with that. But I think everyone knows how I feel about this because, as I mentioned this week, I think the Patriots, in the end, you don't know when you start. You have to evaluate what you had. I think they had actually a relatively easy schedule to get there.
Yes.
As I mentioned, their quarterbacks that they faced this year, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback they faced all year. Who's the second best? Joe Flacco? Who's the third best? Andy Dalton? Those are the top three quarterbacks they played this year. When they played the Steelers, it was Landry Jones.
Who were the top three quarterbacks the Steelers played?
Oh, let's see. Flacco, Eli Manning, Dak Prescott, Kirk Cousins, Carson Wentz, Alex Smith twice, Tom Brady. Those are the best quarterbacks they faced this year.
Most of those guys you named are average quarterbacks. They're not Wentz. Yeah,
they're all better. They're all,
Wentz
believe
is a rookie. I mean, I don't.
They're all better than Colin Kaepernick, Case Keenum, Brock Osweiler twice, Tyrod Taylor, Bryce Petty. That's not exactly murderer's row.
I just feel like there's four great quarterbacks in football, and they're playing this weekend. But I don't think even
Brady's
teams
really
been tested that much. I don't.
Brady's the best player in the field, but. The best unit on the field is the Steeler offensive line.
Oh, yeah.
And I think the Steelers are not only going to win the game, they're going to win the game by 10 points.
Really?
What the Patriots did last week with Houston surprised me a bit because they were only good. They weren't great last week, and good won't win this week.
Well, that's another thing that bothered me about the Pittsburgh in the matchup.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh acted like they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
The Patriots walked off the field with their heads down, and they won the game by 18 points. So I don't think you're going to see the Patriots as a team was not happy with the way they played, and they still won by 18 points.
I think the best unit on the field is Pittsburgh's offensive line, and I think that is a big part of this game.
Yes, I think you're right. I think Roethlisberger is a big part, too. He can change the game just by making his own plays up. So.
Except here's the issue with Roethlisberger. If this game were at Heinz Field, I'd say this game would be a lock. He is a great home field quarterback.
He's not a
last
good
2 years. Last 2 years, he hasn't been a very good road quarterback.
His rating is 109 at home and 75 on the road.
Mm.
Yep.
Yeah.
How you feeling, Sean? Feeling pretty good? But I'm still going to pick the Steelers to win by 10. Why not? What do I have to lose? I have nothing to lose. I have nothing to lose. Okay? Captain Tightrope over there. Like, the two of you are going to sit there and sweat the entire afternoon.
Oh, we'll be...
I'm just going to sit there and enjoy it.
Oh, we'll be texting each other on Sunday, Kev. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The guy who came in last place is taking the Steelers. Perfect.
The guy, if you'd like to follow the last place guy, right, he'll take you to the promised land. No.
Oh, this is fun. We will be texting, Sean, back and forth.
We will. We will. Get a nap.
All right.
7 o'clock's normally your bedtime. Kickoff's at 6:40.
I know. I struggle through these games.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well.
I fall asleep. I wake up. I'm like, am I dreaming? Who's winning? Who's losing? Then I'm wide awake, you know. So
yeah.
Then I don't go to bed
well,
again.
I'm wide awake now because I mean this is a travel day for me. I'm actually in West Lafayette right now. I got a game with Purdue tomorrow at noon, then we'll fly back. So,
wow.
Hey. Oh, wow. Come on! I'm not out here digging a ditch for goodness sakes. I'm announcing games. I mean, come on.
But you're flying. So.
Oh. It's going to be a 90-minute flight. Tomorrow night, it's an hour and 10 minutes. I'll be home by 6 o'clock.
There you go. Well,
all right, come on.
Because you guys are such great guys, you'll both get numbered candle holders mailed to you. One will be number one. The other one will be number two.
Shocking.
Collector's items.
Oh, but,
like a Hitchcock chair.
Yep, same theory. All right.
Claire,
someone who owns Hitchcock
three.
Chairs. Of course. Nah, she should go one, then I think Sean should go two, I should go three. All right.
Okay.
Time to bring the curtain down.
You bet.
All right. Gonna be a fun weekend. Thanks,
it
guys.
Will be.
You got it.
Thanks, Jeff. Sean.
All right.
Sean,
bye.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Great call tomorrow. Safe travels home.
Bye-bye.
Looking forward to it. Should be a lot of fun tomorrow. Purdue's a good team. Penn State's playing really well. We'll talk to you Monday here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Brought to you by Brewers Outlet and Sunbury Motors.
When you're looking for a new Ford vehicle in Central PA, there's only one dealer with four city blocks of new Ford. It's Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is where you want to be with over 90 new F-150s priced from just $24,824. See for yourself why Sunbury Motors has sold over 40,000 trucks. Sunbury Motors Ford has over 70 new Ford SUVs in stock with 2017 Ford Escape on sale from only $19,880. SMC has 45 new Ford cars, with Ford Fiestas starting as low as $13,975, plus financing as low as 0% for up to 72 months on select models. You deserve to deal with the best. Sunbury Motors Ford. SMC is the dealer voted best in the Valley Reader's Choice for best car dealership, best body shop, and best quick service. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. SMC, satisfying more customers since 1915.